Okay. Morning, Nola.
Morning, madam.
Just opening up. Hey, what is happening? Okay. Honorable members, our support team, Ms. Madinise, our committee secretary, Mr. Shuaib, our content advisor, Ms. Inez, our researcher, our secretary, Ms. Oldman, and Tabi, our committee assistant. I've seen Faith from the communications, the media, and all those that are here in our committee meeting to observe. Good morning and compliments of the new year. It is the first time that we are meeting as this committee in 2021. So those that are saying, you say you stop saying compliments of the new year in 15 January, we feel that we still have to do it. Having been in a year, 2020, a very difficult year with the pandemic of COVID-19, in which our colleagues, some of them succumbed to the disease, towards the end of last year, and even when we opened this year, some of our colleagues succumbed to the disease. Not only our colleagues, our neighbors where we are, our loved ones, our friends, our comrades from the political parties that we affiliate to, many of them have succumbed to the disease. We had a very unusual year, but we understood when we had to be in our bed at 9 on the 31st of December, we really understood why the president had to put on those restrictions so that to stop the spreading of the virus. We thank God, those that are praying to God. We thank Allah, those that pray to Allah. We thank Kamata, those that pray to Kamata, and all the other religious formations that we're still alive today. We hope that we will hit the ground running even this year. I don't think it's still the new normal, us having virtual meetings. I think it is the normal way of having meetings now, the virtual meetings. And I think we won't be having people that we have to stop saying that please mute your mic. We understand now how to do these virtual meetings, as it is clear that it's going to be the order of the day. With those few words, honorable members, support team, and all that are in our meeting, you are welcome in this very first meeting that we have this year. Ms. Martinez, any apologies? And can you please present the agenda? Thank you,
Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to Honorable Members and compliments of the new year to everyone, including our colleagues. The only apology that I received, Chair, is that of Honorable Van Staden. He's attending the Portfolio Committee on Health this morning. If I may share the agenda. Today we are having a briefing from ourselves, the support personnel of the committee. We will just be briefing the committee as of to how far are we with the exploration build project, and then the members will deliberate on the information that we have presented. And that should be all from my side, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Nola. But I would like to check, are we correcting in terms of the members that are in the committee than Honorable Frank Calvary?
Yes, Chair, we are correcting. It's Honorable Van Staden who's tendered an apology. apart from Honorable Mashele. I think I don't see Honorable Mashele, but he's probably the only one who's not here.
Honorable
Jabo?
Yes. Honorable Mashele will join us at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Let's continue with the agenda on the screen. Honorable members, we had, as you all know, that we have a management committee in which I had to meet with the support team and plan for the year, all those things that we have to bring to you and check how far are we with the programs. One of the issues that were raised in the management committee is the issue of the expropriation bill, in which, as this committee, we agreed that an advert should go out on the 10th inviting South Africans to submit, whether they agree or not, through written submissions. And we all agree that it must not be the normal 30 days that it is usually out there in Parliament, but it must be 60 days, having known that many people won't be in offices to write those submissions. They will be back in January. And we agreed that it must be the 10th of February. But I would be failing you, honorable members, to mention to you that when we were interacting, we find out that the advert or the notifications to the public through social media was not done in the 10th of December. It has only been done late here in January after our meeting, when we found out that no advert was put in the social media pages of Parliament, your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter pages, where we invited submissions. But other than that, honorable members, I would like our support team now to present the update on the project, and then we will deliberate on that, but also on this issue, that one of the adverts, which was very crucial because young people are on social media, was not out there. Ms. Martinez, over to you and the team.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm trying to beam the presentation full screen. Yes, thank you, Chairperson. And as I've earlier alluded to, I will be presenting the update on the expropriation bill. And I'm not going to be presenting alone, Honorable Chair. It's going to be myself, my colleague, Shuaib, the content advisor, as well as Inez, the researcher. They'll be dealing with the analysis of the submissions that we have received. And the contents of the presentation will deal with the background, the process, challenges, submissions, observations, statistics, analysis, and as well as recommendations. All right. Sometime last year, we did a presentation. We briefed the committee about the process, which is according to Rule 2066, which outlines the actual process of legislation. So we've already had the briefing by the DPWI on the actual bill, which was, I think it was on the 27th of October, sometime last year. And then we considered public inputs. We adopted the motion of desirability. So we have just recently, that is in December, invited public comments. So now we are deliberating on the actual process of the bill. And then thereafter, we'll formally consider the bill clause by clause. We'll consider and adopt the report, and we'll adopt the final version of the bill. So we are currently at number, let's just say, for process sake, we're at number 4, because we have invited public comments, and that's why we are deliberating on them now. If I may give a brief of a background, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the project started on the 14th of October when the APC clearly referred the expropriation bill to our committee to start to commence work on. So our projected end date is the 30th of July 2021. So on the 27th of October, the committee resolved that we should call for public comments and the advert should be put out on the 10th of December 2020. So the print media and website publication happened on the from the 11th and the 12th of December last year. And as the chairperson has said, the social media advert didn't go out at the same time, even though we had submitted the same request to the PCS, Parliamentary Communication Services. Then in January 2021, the radio promotions were aired from the 25th of January, except for Umhlobo Wenene, Mungana Lunene, and Palapala FM. Those are the three radio stations. And the reasons for these, which were given by the Parliamentary Communication Services, was that they were out of budget because they'd used so much funds on the Section 25 process of legislation. So the social media advert was only published on the 29th of January after having followed up with our colleagues from the PCS, and then they only put it out at that time. Some of the challenges of the process, as I've just recently alluded to, is the resources. We've had issues where in which the management from different sides of Parliament stated that there are no funds that will be utilised for this. If I may refer specifically to a situation, is the one that I've just referred to, of the Parliamentary Communication Services not being able to advertise and do radio promos in all other radio stations apart from the selected few that they had to advertise on. And obviously they did give reason for that it was because of listenership and all of those, but still the committee felt, well, the MENCO felt that it was not enough, that we had to target each and every South African as much as we can. Second challenge, we learned also that there's no media plan. Because usually for such big projects as such as these and such an important legislation, the communication services usually presents a comprehensive media plan to state how they will support the portfolio committee in terms of maximizing public participation thereof. And that is lacking. There is none. The other thing that we picked up as a challenge is the alert level 3 lockdown restrictions, because it's making it a bit difficult for us to plan as of to exactly when are we starting with our public hearings. And that was before the president then announced that we're still on level 3, but there's been some restrictions that he's being lenient with that have been eased. But still, it's the situation makes it a bit difficult for us with the cases that are fluctuating as well. It's kind of posing a challenge for us to plan going forward. Also, we've also learned that through the inquiries that we've been receiving and through the comments themselves, some of them, we've also learned that people still don't understand what it is that we're advertising for. They either don't understand the gist of the expropriation bill itself, or they don't understand why they need to comment on this. They're still confusing the expropriation bill process with the process of land claims, of which these are two different things. Moving right along to Chairperson, we are now looking at the submissions. So having advertised in December and having put out radio promos in January, we decided to do this in three ways, mainly two, but the other third one fits into the other. Usually, when committees publicize an advertisement on a bill, we usually only put out on print media and radio as per norm. But this time around, we decided to request email submissions, written submissions by email. And we also became innovative in that we created a WhatsApp number that would also feed into an electronic form. The electronic form was also, we're practically the first ones to have an electronic submission, and it's proving to be vital, especially for the analysis of information, which is the reason why we would really encourage us as this committee, honorable members as well, when they are putting feelers out there, to encourage people to really use the electronic format instead of the traditional email version, because this one worked much better for us. So on the electronic mail, we created an email expression bill at parliament.gov.za, in which people would submit their written comments. We received 3,955 submissions before the 10th of December. This I need to practically put out to this committee. What transpired is that when we sent through an advert to our colleagues at Parliamentary Communication Services last year, we clearly stated that the advert needs to be out after the 10th of December, as per the resolution of this committee during its meeting that was held in October. So a mistake happened, an error occurred, in which the advert was prematurely put out before the 10th of December on the website only, before it went out to print media. But according to the, well, based on the consultations we had with the chairperson, when we realized this was the case, we consulted the chair, and the chair stated clearly that the committee's stance was that the advert was only supposed to be out by the 10th of December, and therefore we don't want to be seen as though we are giving other people privilege over others, because it was only out on the website. So what about the people that did not have access to any internet at the time? So the 3955 had to be discarded because it was prematurely advertised. Thereafter, we received 3,994 submissions by the 29th of January 2021. A couple of days later, it must have been 2 days later, on the 1st of February, we noticed a rapid increase in our submissions, in that we realized that we had 37,795 submissions as on the 1st of February. On the electronic form that we used, by the way, I need to highlight to the honorable members that this link was also advertised on print media. It was also advertised on the website, it was advertised on social media, as well as on the radio promos. It's out there in the public. So people have been submitting. By the 25th of January, we had 69 submissions, and then we noticed an increase after the radio promos were out on the 25th of January. 121 submissions as at the 29th of Jan, that is 4 days after the radio promos. And then by the 1st of February, we had 216 submissions. So the WhatsApp number, therefore, we encourage people to utilize the number that feeds into the actual form. So one would just send a hi to the number or a text message or whatever the message, then they would receive an automatic response that links them to that actual link. So the current due date that we put out on the advert is the 10th of February 2021. Moving to the statistics, honorable chairperson, and I need to highlight that these statistics are mainly based on the electronic submissions. Because as I said earlier, with electronic submissions, it's easier to pull out a report that gives us the actual statistics of how much submissions have we received and what the submissions are actually stating, from who, from which province, and from which town. So these will mainly be based, because on the analysis, then we'll zoom into the written submissions, the 37,000 submissions that we also received on the email. So out of the 216 responses that we received on our electronic version of submissions, we found that Gauteng, I'm trying to move my screen quickly because I can't see. Great. So we had 31.5% of those submissions were from Gauteng, followed by the Northwest at 19.9%. Thereafter, followed by the Western Cape. I see it's not on this screen. The Western Cape, 15.7%. Then the Northern Cape, the Free State, is 9.7%. And thereafter, KZN is 6.5%. Right, that will be followed by Limpopo at 6.9%, the Eastern Cape at 4.2%, Mpumalanga 2.8%, Northern Cape at 2.3%. This, honourable members and honourable chairperson, is a clear indication that the people that have, if we may go back to this slide, the people that have really responded mainly to the advert as those who were privy to the advert, who have probably read through the bill and they probably have an understanding of what the bill entails. And that would, you can tell by the percentage from Gauteng, from the Free State, from the Western Cape, because the media coverage has been vast in those areas. So the indication that in Limpopo, 6.9, all of these four provinces have not really had an uptake in terms of the submissions. It could also translate to what we were talking about earlier on, that we have not yet maximized our media promotion of the bill in those areas. So of the 216 responses that we received, 92.1% is strongly opposing the bill and only 7.9% is currently for the bill. Our observations were that with the electronic mail version and the electronic form version, we realized that, or mainly with the electronic mail, that is exploitationbill.parliament.gov.za, we found that there are three major organizations, it's TLU, IRR, and DSA, that have embarked on major campaigns for submissions on this bill. But what I've also realized was that those organizations are mobilizing people because they're against the bill. So mainly the people, the 37,000 submissions that you see, as I have already presented, are not mainly from individuals who have their own voices. It's individuals who have been lobbied by specific organizations to basically promote a certain narrative, which is now to oppose the bill. That was our finding. That's one of our observations. Secondly, we also have found out that there are duplications of the same emails, duplications of the same submission within the emails. And I've already alluded to the campaigns because at some point on the WhatsApp line, I received quite a number. I think it was about 15, if not 20, WhatsApp SMSs that were stating that the people had been lobbied to send no to expropriation bill to the WhatsApp number. Then I would respond to those people and say that if they want to submit, they must use the form and practically just complete everything that is on the form. But because just mainly saying no to expropriation bill without any information, without any personal data that has been captured, it makes it difficult for us to capture that as an actual submission because we have to have all the information. Submission uptake per province, I've already spoken to this, that the uptake per province, as for the statistics that I've just presented, it clearly states that there hasn't been much media coverage, which might compromise this process. Because if you remember, the reason why we're having this expropriation bill again is because of the remission by the then president, because of lack of enough public participation conducted on the bill. So we don't want to also find ourselves falling into the same trap. So we need to really rectify it going forward. The radio promos saw us an increase in the number of submissions coming through, either the electronic version or the email. There was also a number of telephonic queries where people wanted to know more about what the bill is about, and so on and so forth. The individual submissions, there's been a very minimal number of individual submissions than we would have expected. As I previously alluded to, the fact that the individuals that are submitting are individuals that are speaking on behalf of certain organizations, not necessarily because it's their own voices, but it's because it's the voice of the organization. All right. At this point, Honorable Chair, I would like to hand over to my colleagues, Shuaib and Inez, in that order. I think Shuaib will commence with this one, and then he will then hand over to Inez, and I'll come back in when we deal with the recommendations. Thank you. Okay?
Chairperson, if I may.
Please continue, Mr. Shuaib.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. And good wishes for the next year under very trying circumstances. Noda, you will guide me through because I'm not streaming it. So, Chairperson and members, colleagues, the first slide on slide 11. I don't want to first start with that. I just want to make a few remarks about specifically the phase that we are in when it comes to, our work. This is the other leg of parliamentary work, and that is legislation. The point to make, Chair, is the importance of public involvement in lawmaking processes. And when we say public involvement, it cannot be that any portion of our public is excluded for any reason. It cannot, there is no reason good enough for people not to be part of this process, no matter where they are in the country. That is crucial. And we must also take into account the history of this country and the issue of exclusion that cannot be allowed. Now, my colleague already went through some of the features. Well, she didn't go through it, but she referred to what is on this slide. And that is the main feature that we have in this current phase is that we are dealing with electronic submissions. In other words, emails, WhatsApp submissions is the main component that we are talking about. And therefore, everyone does not have access to these resources. So what we will see is that this is a mass of submissions that excludes a majority sector of our population. And therefore, we need to say that the lack of media attention in specific areas has the effect, and we're sitting here with that on this presentation. The other point to make, Chair, is we must not underestimate what the lockdowns has, the effect of the lockdowns on all of us. There is a tendency to focus on preserving ourselves and protecting ourselves rather than to focus on things that's far away from us. And so, we hear more about vaccines and lockdowns and the disease itself rather than legislative processes at the moment. So we have to up the media attention substantially to penetrate that fear. And fortunately, vaccines are arriving, and hopefully that will lift our spirits and our people's spirits to also participate in this process. So the feature that's listed is the high number of submissions, but a lower number of people participating. And I must say that if we think 40,000 submissions is a lot, it is not. It should be much more. Because that, and I will go through it in the next few slides, these 40,000, it should be 40,000, it's not 40, it's just under 40, but those submissions does not have a diverse and does not express a diverse number of views on the expropriation bill 23 of 2020. Nola already reflected on bullet number 3, saying that from weekend 29 January onwards, tens of thousands appeared. Before that, it was about just under 3,39, and then it touched 4, and then suddenly there was a mass coming in that made it, gave us this amount of close to 40,000. Now, the organizations, is important to note, and the focus on organizations is important. Maybe I must just make this point. I think Nola already touched on this. The submissions that we see are made in the names of individuals. And then, and later on there's an example of them, and then these individuals associate themselves, align themselves to a view expressed by organizations. These organizations are SA Institute of Race Relations, AfriForum, Free State Agriculture, Dear South Africa, and then AfriForum has another site called onteining.co.za that also that was also used by individuals to express their view. I don't see the Transvaal Landbou Unie here, TLU. TLU should have been included there. A mass came through from them as well. Thank you, Nola. Now, we just need to say that when there is no way that the point that we made that it's an organization that has a view that puts their email, I mean, that puts their, on their website, they put a view out there on the bill, and then Shu'aib Dinesen aligns himself to that view. There is nothing wrong with that. We need to say that there's nothing wrong with that. It's absolutely fine. That is how, that is the favor that these organizations are doing our democracy. They put a view out there and they assist people to understand the technicalities of this bill and how it relates to their lives. So we are not saying that, we're not saying anything negative about that process. We actually applaud that process. But we must also recognize the following members and chairperson, that these organizations, prior to this bill being published and tabled in Parliament, were busy with a campaign that they called a campaign against EWC. And that campaign related to the process of the ad hoc committee that has been established to amend Section 25, which is the property clause of the Constitution. So what we also see as a feature is that the sentiments being expressed is overwhelmingly focused and aligned to a similar view around expropriation without compensation, and especially expropriation without no compensation. Now, it must be noted that that is peripherally related to this particular bill, because the main object of this bill is not no compensation. The main object is not amendment of Section 25. The main object is putting in place a uniform administrative system to expropriate in the common and public good of society. Not for any other reason. Because the problem with the campaigns of these particular organizations is that they unfortunately express very negative views towards government, and other colleagues, Inez, might show an example of how people express themselves when the opportunity is there, and we have to address people on expressing themselves properly in the spirit of the Constitution and democracy, and not negatively. So I think I covered most of bullet one. The next few bullets basically just say a few things about each organization. TLU opposed no compensation provisions, suggested that expropriation should remain in force. In other words, Act 63 of 75. Deals with South Africa focused mainly on Chapter 4, powers of the minister to expropriate. Chapter 4, and these are specific chapters of the bill. Decisions needed to be taken on how written submissions may be viewed, as individuals are providing a single narrative through large organizations. That matter we already covered. And then there were substantive submissions providing detailed suggestions on clauses, etc. Now, the next one. So, Chair, slides 13 and 14, etc., and onwards will give you the actual submission of each one of the organizations. And I'll just briefly read through it. Transvaal Landbou Unie, TLU, would say, strongly disagree, and so Shuaib would go onto their site and then get this form where it's, I, Shuaib Dineson, herewith align myself to the position of TLU on the expropriation bills 23 of 2020. I strongly disagree with the repealment of existing expropriation Act 63 of 75. Do not agree that there should be instances where no compensation is just and equitable. Private ownership should be protected by the law. Do not agree that there should be instances, again. So that aspect gets repeated, and then private ownership is the core of healthy economy and community, and it should be protected by the law. Now, this gives the false view that this bill is going to take away private ownership. And we have to say, Chair, that is incorrect. The next one, Institute of Race Relations, the bill will allow the government to seize ownership or control of both land and many other assets. I am not going to express myself on factuality of this. That's not what I'm required to do here. I'll just put it out there. The definition of property makes people vulnerable to lose all rights, improvements, etc., due to expropriation for no or adequate compensation. I have to say something on this, Chair. If this organization and the people that align themselves to this specific aspect of the submission is true, then, or rather, if this is really the position of those people and this organization, then this means they are against Section 25 of the Constitution. Because the definition of property in the bill is as stated in Section 25 of the Constitution. So on the one hand, people say that the bill is unconstitutional, but then they make unconstitutional remarks in their submissions. There is fear as part of the Institute of Race Relations, and fear generally features in all the submissions, that the bill is not just about land reform as argued by government. And we must take people seriously when they express fear. We must take people seriously when they express that they are being duped, in other words, that they are being lied to. This, we must never ridicule people when they are busy with submissions. We can, however, say that they are incorrect, like I just did earlier on, but we must take their sentiment seriously and do something about it. The fear that no compensation may be later on, after the bill is passed, wider applied than is described in the bill. And then that the bill's procedures for expropriation are heavily skewed in favor of the state. And this has to do with aspects that come up in other organizations as well, and that is the issue of, yes, you allow for the expropriated owners to approach the court to appeal the appropriation or to appeal the amount that's being paid back, but the litigation cost may be too high, etc., and therefore it's more in favor of the state. Thank you, Nola. So continuing on that, under the notice to expropriate, ownership and the right to possess property will automatically pass to the expropriating authority. When we deal with that particular clause of the bill, we will deal more substantially with it. Some of these are not as simple as the submissions are making it. Payment of compensation. The time frames are vague and contesting the process in court, fear of costly litigation, which I referred to just now, and then fear that the amount that you will pay us will be lower than my 1.6 million bond. So I owe 1.6 million, you pay me 1.2 million, I sit with the rest of the debt. I think again, when we deal with a specific clause in the bill during the process of submissions, and remember, I will just now come back to this other aspect, that it's not just these submissions that we are taking and then we are drafting the bill or then we are amending the bill. There is also the case that if the Institute of Race Relations will make a submission and members will engage them on each of these submissions. The Free State Agriculture submission, remember, this is, as I said, part of a broad campaign. The later ones, the 36,000 that came, as I said, from 29 January to now, that were submitted, started appearing under a broader campaign, which is similar to the amendment of Section 25 Ad Hoc Committee's campaign. And it was a campaign called Stop Expropriation by Dear South Africa and SA Institute of Race Relations with Free State South Africa, and then AfriForum and ANN would also be part of this. They would make comments such as they consider these as risky to their civil liberties, state control of all property. In other words, there's an aspect of nationalization of all land in the country, seemingly. Municipalities will have the right to apply and regulate this law. Currently, it is like that. Under Section, Expropriation Bill 63 of 75, expropriation takes place like that. It's not new. And worldwide, it's done like that. Later, when we get organizations to submit, you will notice that that is the case. Expropriation in public interest is broadly defined. Now, when something is too broadly defined, the fear is that any reason may be given and your land will just be taken. These are things we will engage on. Nola? Next one. They state a position on the legislative issue regarding property rights. And so these individual people would then say, I reject any amendment to Section 25. Or any current similar bills, as such amendments may have a negative effect on the right to property, and any expropriation of private property without compensation is completely rejected. Any expropriation of private property without compensation is completely rejected. Strong view and properly put, and it's part of our democratic process, and welcome. Support future-oriented, economically sustainable agricultural development that aims to pursue the expansion of the agricultural sector, because, and the link to food security across not just our country, but the whole region of Southern Africa. The state, commercial banks, and other financing institutions must establish financing models that provide full title to all new entrants to agriculture. Property rights must be expanded to be accessible for all South Africans, and the bill, unfortunately, according to them, unfortunately, the bill diminishes and threatens property rights. The next one, Nola. No, this is your part. Before I give over, Chairperson, if I may just say, the few slides we just went through, we must not create the impression that this is the only time that these people and these organizations engage with us. They will have a chance to come and present to us, and so they will be able to expand on their positions. But I just need to make this issue, this point about repetition. Some individuals would have submitted more than one time under different organizations. And that is an aspect that means that if you count each submission, you may not have the true submission of 30 or 40,000. That's not the total submission. It might be less. And if we look at the fact that it's thousands, ten thousands of people that submitted, yet the messages are about five or six on the bill, the committee needs to take that into account as a feature, and therefore the issue of media exposure and getting more people to participate to enrich and to strengthen this bill and to make it a people-centered bill. The people must own this bill and the law that the president signs into effect later on. That is crucial. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Shuaib. And Honorable Chairperson, it is at this point where I will then present the recommendations based on the information that we have presented, both Shuaib and myself. Then we firstly recommend that the project sponsor should source some more funding for the project and provide feedback to the committee by no later than the 10th of February. The project sponsor in this case would be our unit manager, because he's the one whom we report to. I would then in this instance be referred to as the project manager. I have had a conversation already with him. That's why we put this as a recommendation for the committee. And the second one, we would also recommend that the Parliamentary Communication Services need to draft a media plan, a comprehensive media plan, and submit it to the Portfolio Committee by also no later than the 10th of February 2021. We also need to embark on a drive to clarify the objectives of the expropriation bill through either the interviews that the Honourable Chairperson usually is usually called for on radio, on TV or elsewhere. We just need to specify exactly what it is, as she's already been doing, exactly what it is that the bill seeks to achieve. We may also need the public education unit to also come on board to try and really educate the public about what the bill entails, because it's clear and rather evident based on the comments that we've somehow received and some queries that we've received, that there's still a bit of uncertainty as to what is required. We can do that also through radio and video promotions, because I also felt that part of the radio promotions, as much as they were the objectives were read, still people are not yet clear as to what it is that's needed. Part of the media plan would also include video promotions as well, in which this whole thing will be dissected into the simplest of ways in order to reach the broader citizens of South Africa. The other recommendation would be that we would recommend the committee extends the public comment submission deadline to at least 28th of February 2021 to accommodate further submissions, mainly one, because we are still yet to stress more and stretch ourselves further in terms of media coverage to encourage public participation. Lastly, Honourable Chairperson, we would recommend the postponement of the public hearings for commencement in March 2021 to make space for the potential ease of COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. As you know, that currently we're on level 3 and there's still 50 people that are allowed in a venue, or rather 50% of a venue or something like that. But we would like to involve more people in our public hearing. So in order for us to maximize on that as well and take leverage in terms of the ease of lockdown regulations, we would really recommend that public hearings
be postponed for commencement in March 2021. With that said, Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much for the time you've given us, and we'd like to also thank our colleagues for the inputs that they've put into this presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez and Mr. Shuaib, for that clearly detailed presentation to the Honourable Members. Honourable Members, I'm now inviting you to comment. There are also detailed recommendations to this presentation. Honourable Trink, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Van Skalvik, please, according to that order. And remember, Honourable Members, it's three minutes. It can't be 10 minutes. 3 minutes for your responses. Honourable Trink, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Siwisa, and lastly, Honourable Van Skalvik. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, colleagues. Good to see all of you again. And like Chair said earlier, we are thankful to the Lord that all of us have been kept safe during this very difficult period that many of us have gone through. I think also many of us have been affected in some way, loved ones, friends, close family that have passed on. So good to see all of your faces again, and that you have been kept to this time. So let's stay strong and stay safe. Chair, having said that, I think I've sat on the Section 25 Ad Hoc Committee and have attended a few of those particular meetings, public meetings for Section 25. My observation in some of those meetings is that what happens is that you actually have your different political parties, and I'm not going to mention the names of the political parties, but different political parties that actually have a particular view with regards to the Section 25 process. And so my observation is that when we get to a particular venue, you would see a particular caucus leader of a particular party handing out slips of paper to their particular members. Those particular members then come into the meeting, and we sat for hours and hours listening to the same refrain from different political parties, the same refrain, the same message. And so I think that my position here is that, and it was not, I chatted to some of the leaders of the different political parties, and the response that I got was, well, that's how we do things, you know, learn from us. And so I think that when we must understand, and I understand that Section 25 and the amendment bill is controversial, because we have different opinions on it. But, you know, my sense is that that I'm hearing, but I think that Shuaib did say, that it is your one's democratic right to align yourself with a particular view. If we did not want things to have been done that way, we should have then made it very clear in terms of what the particular guidelines are and what we expect from those particular submissions. So if a particular organization, doesn't matter which organization it is, then asks for its particular members and say, look, this is our view. If you support our view, then you can, you know, fill this particular form in and send your email or send your electronics communication through to this particular address. And I do not think that we must or can actually discount those particular submissions. It is an individual in South Africa, rightly or wrongly, who has chosen to align themselves with a particular individual and with that, align themselves with that particular view. And so those particular views, in as much as it is repetitive, cannot, in my view, be discounted. If we then say that those particular views, and we're saying, well, this is what we've observed, then we have to go to the Section 25 process and look at all of those particular submissions that came from different, which said the same thing. People reading out what was given to them before a meeting and then, you know, look at discounting. That wasn't done certainly in the Section 25 submissions, and I certainly don't think that we ought to be looking at doing something similar or something different in this particular process. Having said that, Chair, I'm not opposed to the recommendations that NOLA has put out, and I think I'll stop there. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to everybody. It's so lovely to see everybody's faces. I've missed everybody over the holidays, so it's nice to be back, and it's nice to feel like we're back working again, which is marvelous. My first thing is I'd like to really express my gratitude and thanks to our support staff. I really believe we have the best team in Parliament, and I just believe that the work that you guys have done is phenomenal. I mean, having read through the overview that you submitted to us yesterday and the Word document that you sent us and then the presentation, I cannot express my gratitude more for the work that you guys have put in. And I know how tough it must have been. It cannot be fun to read through thousands and thousands and thousands of submissions and try and assimilate those and put those into something that's cohesive and coherent for the rest of us. So from that, I would really like to thank you. Just a couple of questions. Who is the funder? You keep referring to the funder in all of this. So who is the funder of this process? Just for clarity purposes. Obviously, the fact that there's no media plan is of great concern. You know, I think Shuaib referenced it when he was talking. This bill is designed to protect the people who've been most disenfranchised. Our lack of proper media, our lack of proper advertising has further disenfranchised the people that we are proclaiming to be wanting to empower, because those are the people that have been eliminated from the process through poor planning or poor communication. So it's very, very important that, as NOLA said, that we make sure that we are reaching the people that need to be reached, because those are the people that this is seeking to support and assist and uplift, and they're not even being given an opportunity to make input on this. My next question is, how relevant is the public participation process? We go through all of this. Of the 216 received inputs on the electronic format, 92% said no. What impact does that have on our process? Do we then say, okay, look, from what we've ascertained, 92% of the population or 92% of the people who were prepared to make an input have said no. Do we then halt the process? In other words, do we pay any real attention to what people are saying and what their feeling is on this, or do we just forge ahead anyway? So I'm trying to understand the value of public participation, because if we're ignoring the inputs from people and we're ignoring the sentiment in the country, then what is the purpose of actually doing public participation? Then the people in Parliament might as well just go ahead and do their own thing. So it's really just a question around the value of public participation and how seriously we do take it. So it's great that we say, okay, we must make sure people can participate. But do we then take cognizance of what people are saying and what the sentiment is? And then again, I'd like to just express my gratitude to Shuaib for saying that we do acknowledge that people align themselves with organizational ideas and values. And, you know, people don't always understand how to participate. So it's very important that there are organizations that are facilitating that process so that people are being heard and they are finding a way to express. Because the average man on the street doesn't know how to make a submission on something like this. This is kind of above what they would understand. So I think it is of great value that we recognize the importance of organizations and their ability to make inputs. And I think that's my input for now. Thanks very much.
Just before Honorable Matibula, Honorable Njobo raised her voice. So after Honorable Hans Kalvik, Honorable Njobo will then speak. I just wanted to say that I've noted you, though you can't raise your head. I heard you, Honorable Njobo.
Honourable Matebula.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you and greetings to members of Parliament as well as the staff that has assisted us with the report. And I must also join the member in commending the good work that they have done for us, Chair. Chair, well, I want to speak to a few issues that relate to the constitution of the country. First of all, Chair, it is said that about, 419 people electronically made their submissions. I must say, Chair, that in South Africa, we've got a population of over 50 million. And it might happen that not everybody has an access to electronic gadget to can actually make an electronic submission. So given this particular number, Chair, this cannot be in line with our constitution that such a small number of people can represent all 50 plus million of our people. Now, this takes me to the point of the constitutionality of participation by the South African citizens. Chair, as the National Assembly, we are required by Section 59, Subsection 1A of the Constitution to ensure that there is a public participation in matters of this nature. So it has happened, Chair, that during this period, hence I will at the end say something with regard to the recommendation, that our people have not been able to participate fully. And this section, if it is not followed, Chair, it has been reported here that our first interaction with our people and when the president was supposed to sign the bill into law could not do so because of lack of participation. And Ms. Noala has indicated that we can't make the same mistake. And I fully agree with her that we cannot make the same mistake of having the bill being returned back because this time and also it is money consuming to take the bill and redo it again because of public participation and also because of flouting of the constitutional sections such as Section 59, Subsection 1A. Now, Chair, I'm of the view, therefore, that the recommendation should be supported, and for the mere fact also that you have our people who are staying in deep rural areas, one who may not have network, and secondly, some of these people do not have the gadgets, much gadgets, like we have some of us. Now, their rights cannot be ignored, therefore, to participate in a process of this magnitude. So it is for that reason, I say, Chair, this must be, extended, the electronic submission, as it has been recommended, and the public participation. And also, not losing sight of the fact that we are confronted by the pandemic, and we could not risk the lives of people of South Africa. Chair, I want to also say something in relation to those who are opposed to the bill, in particular a certain group or section of our population who are in actual fact in support of the Act of 63 of 1975, which it does not encourage a nil compensation. Well, when you look at these people who are actually opposed, the people who have actually acquired land, who own thousands and thousands of hectares, of land without taking into consideration as to what is the main aim of the amendment of Section 25 of our Constitution, which does not speak to what they are actually speaking to. And I would want to say one or two things. One of it is that the amendment speaks to where, if the land it is unused or misused, government will come in and take that particular land. And of course, Chair, we cannot have somebody who is with thousands and thousands of hectares of land who doesn't use it or who misuses it, and as government we just fold our arms and do nothing. So it is my worry, therefore, Chair, that these people do not read and understand the adverts and what is contained in the bill. And also that, Chair, I think it motivates even further the fact that we need to give our people more time to can engage with the bill and what is actually contained in the bill. Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Matabula. Honourable Higlin.
Thank you so much, Chair. First, I would like to echo what my colleague Sam said. We have the best support staff of any committee in Parliament. You guys are absolutely amazing, and I know for a fact that we wouldn't be able to accomplish half of what we did without your incredible input. And I really want to thank you, particularly those people who have been challenged health-wise. It has not shown in your work. You really are amazing. Thank you so very much. I want to just kind of echo a sentiment that I think is in the background of everybody's mind more than is actually stated. This meeting is not to discuss or debate the merits of the input. This meeting really must be to address the failure of our communication systems to actually facilitate adequate participation. The fact that the social media advert that was scheduled to go out on the 11th and 12th of December actually only went out on the 29th of January is testament and is verified by the fact that we had 3,900 odd submissions up until the 29th of January, and that it exploded exponentially to nearly 40,000. I think that really needs to be taken into account. And the reason that I'm saying that is that the majority of people, as my colleague Samantha has said, for whom this process is going to be the most beneficial, were disenfranchised by not having access to information. And so we need to ensure that we can extend the deadline to facilitate that the people who need to make the input are able to make the input appropriately. I think we also have to be very cognizant of the fact that COVID, the second wave of COVID, is still with us, albeit thank goodness that our numbers are reducing. We cannot suddenly have an exponential number of people wanting to make physical submissions because they don't have access to an electronic means to make a submission. I think that is the biggest problem that we have, and it's the reason that so many people have aligned themselves with TLU, AfriForum and SAIRR, is because they can use a standard form in which to make a submission. And as Shuaib said, we cannot distance ourselves or just dismiss them because they happen to have aligned themselves with an institution, whether they like it or whether we like it or whether we don't. They are an institution that has put out a form that makes it easier for them to actually say, this is my view. I don't know how to express myself in another way. They have expressed themselves, or they have put forward a form that expresses what I want to say. And I think we need to take that into cognizance and be very mindful of that. I think that the other reason that people have joined the likes of SAIRR, TLU, and all the other organizations is
the common belief that as a single person, I cannot make an input that will make any difference. But if there are 50 of us who are saying the same thing, there is strength in numbers. And so we will join a group that is already in existence. And I think it's at our peril that we disregard this. I think it's also beholden upon us as a committee and through adverts, through public participation, through promos, through videos, whichever way we want to go, that we have to look at expropriation without compensation, Section 25, and make a very clear distinction. If there is a very clear distinction, we need to make it very public what the distinction is, because I think people are speaking from a position of fear as opposed to a position of knowledge. And it's up to us as a committee to make sure that the messages that go out are exceptionally clear. And that people don't understand the bill. I mean, that is the top and bottom of it. They do not understand the bill. And I think if we get that right, then we will have a better representation of the views of the majority of South Africans. And whichever way you want to spin it, whether it's people in favor of the expropriation bill or people against the expropriation bill, to have 40,000 submissions out of a population of in excess of 40 million can hardly be deemed to be representative of the population. So an extension to the deadline is mandatory, and greater explanations for what the bill and Section 25 are is even more mandatory. I'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hickman. Honourable Suiza.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, it's very disappointing that we try our utmost best to do things as they are supposed to be done as the committee. And then we are being disappointed by people that are actually supposed to make sure that these things happen. It takes me back to this thing of the PCS says that they didn't have enough funding, which caused a lot of people not to get the information out there. Because it means that the majority of the youngsters who are actually the backbone, we know our kids rely on social media for anything. And so the backbone doesn't actually know what's going on out there. Because if one knows, the other one is going to tell the other one. Some of them know because of we gave them the information, look, here is the link, do this and do that and everything. Read through this document and make a submission. But if Parliament communication system is the one that's failing us, one is going to ask questions as to why did the first attempt fail? Because the first attempt failed, one of the reasons is that there was not enough public participation. Why? One is going to raise such questions to say certain radio stations could not advertise because of Parliament says that they do not have enough funds. Whereas we are relying on the public because we are the government for the people by the people. So we are here because of the people, but if we cannot involve, Parliament fails us to involve the public, to actually participate wholeheartedly so, then it becomes a problem. Then it means this thing is going to flop again because of it means that something happened in the past for it not to see the day of light, and the same thing is going to happen again. We need to create a platform. And that funding needs to be sourced. I don't know where it's going to be sourced, but they need to have funding for each and everything. We can't be sitting here and then TCS is going to tell us that all their funding was used up in Section 25. They knew that the expropriation bill is coming up. Why didn't they do anything? Coming to one of the recommendations, postponement potential is on COVID-19 lockdown, I don't think very much things to do with there will be any, this COVID will say that it's at a rapid control. So I don't know if it will be appropriate to, maybe we can attach a later date because this thing is serious, it's out there. And we want to get as many people as possible into those public hearings. Maybe we can, I don't know, maybe a later date, not by to commence in March 2021. For me, it seems as if it's very soon. The vaccine is only arriving now. There's going to be this up and down of vaccinating people and everything, and then try to flatten the curve. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we can touch another date, but the March 2021 is going to be very soon because it's going to push us to come and sit here again and look at another date if the curve doesn't actually flatten. That's my submission, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Suisa. Honorable Van Skalwijk.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone once more. And compliments to everyone. Great seeing you all alive and kicking. Chairperson, I'm not going to repeat the sentiments raised by the previous members, even though I'm agreeing with a lot of those sentiments. But I want to emphasize, Chairperson, that we shouldn't go into the merits or the details entailed in the bill, but rather focus on our agenda item at hand in terms of our way forward. So when we speak about the recommendations, Chairperson, it is of concern to me also that there's this excuse of not proper funding available to in terms of the radio advert, and it's a point of concern to me. So I would therefore like to propose, Honorable Chair and members, that we venture into the area of community radio stations to ensure that our people in the deep rural areas, most of them who doesn't have access to electricity or TV, or electronics, that we venture into that area to relay the message to them. Also, Chairperson, I would like to propose that we flyers be developed for distribution in all our PCOs. That's also going to assist to strengthen this process. Then I would like to support the proposal or recommendation made that the adverts should be moved to or the date should be moved to the end of February. I support that one. But also, Chairperson, when we look at everything that has been said and agreed and went out raised by our previous members, it's important, Chair, that we adhere to the COVID regulations. So even though we need to have proper planning, and the proposal is there that we should start with our public hearing towards the middle of March, as I've seen on the Z list, I would request, Chairperson, that we really look at our lockdown level one, and we propose that we move our public hearing until lockdown level one, whenever that might be. The sooner the better. We want to do this thing, but we can't risk our lives and the lives of our people, and we can't risk that we don't get maximum participation out there. So, Chairperson, I have a concern also in terms I'm looking at the number of proposals that we've received, and I echo the sentiment that it's not majority view that's been enjoyed, and I'm also of the view that we should conscientize people, especially those in rural areas, and the areas, and specifically the provinces that have that didn't engage much. We should also try and find measures or ways on how best we can engage with those provinces and areas to ensure maximum participation in this regard, to make sure that it's people from all levels that's really making inputs, and not from certain levels, people who have access to electronics, access to budget and the know-how. But we must ensure that we also reach out to relevant municipalities, relevant other public office bearers at provincial and local levels, to ensure that we get maximum participation from this process. I think I'll pause there, Jay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Van Skalwijk. Honourable Njabo?
Thank you, Chairperson. Full cover by all members of the committee, especially on the issue of council our colleagues officers. The issue of public hearing that should start by March, and where the restrictions will allow people to have gatherings because of COVID-19.
Thank you, Honorable Njabo. I think, Honorable Njabo, though we've heard you, you have challenge of network. And thank you, honorable members, on the issues that you have raised and the comments that you have asked. But I want to remind honorable members that this is not only the phase of submissions that we're dealing with. Remember, honorable members, when this draft bill came to us, our support team, then we agreed that it must be sent to the House of Traditional Leaders. That happened, I think, which was the first phase of the comments and submissions. And then the second one was this one where we invited written submissions. The third step or phase would be when we engage oral submissions. That is where the parties or organizations or formations come to present. But because we are in this age of virtual meetings, those oral submissions will be done virtually. We're still going to that stage. And then lastly, it would be the public hearings. Remember, one of the reasons we are saying public hearings is because we know that there are still communities in South Africa that don't have electricity, that only their means of making their submissions would be to go to that hall. We respect and observe the health protocols and the restrictions as outlined by the President and the Minister of Health and the regulations. That is why we, if you remember correctly, when we agreed on this project, we said that the public hearings will start, in fact, immediately after we reopen as Parliament and also after the SONA. And now we are saying they will start mid-March. But we also think maybe that can be added, Ms. Martinez, that only when the President has eased the restrictions, that is when we are in level one. We can't say we're going to do public hearings now and we expect only 50 people to be in the hall. I think we won't be reaching out to everyone out there. I think we all agree on the fact that we must extend to the 28th of February the part about return submissions, hoping that Ms. Martinez, you noting the fact that flyers must be issued, and we ensure that the Parliament must ensure that all the PCOs, parliamentary consent offices, they have those flyers so that they reach. We also interact with the provincial legislatures, all the 9 of them, so that there's also this information that they can share with the communities that they are in. But a reminder to honourable members of why we're talking about this draft bill. We are repealing Act 63 of 1975, an act that talked to the then government, the apartheid government. We must also remember, when you talk about land, that is very, very political. That is why we are in this parliament. That's why people fought those laws before, when their land was taken from them without even an act. But we are a constitutional government this time. We're bringing in a bill in which people must comment so that we have a clear framework of what the people of South Africa want. If we are saying today the submissions that have been done talk to the people of South Africa, we're really not being honest to ourselves. It talks, these submissions that have been done, they are talking to the minority of the population of South Africa, but the minority that is owning this land, not even the government, the minority that is owning the majority of the land of South Africa. So this is political, honorable members, but I really appreciate all the comments and submissions that you have made in this meeting. We recognize all the formations and the parties that have joined this meeting. There's only one that has written in our chat group. Others have not written. Mr. Hank Smith, I hope that he is Mr. Hank Smith, who is representing Lamosa. And all the others that are here, we all recognize you that are in this meeting, hoping that when we deal with oral submissions, you will be part of those formations that will be doing oral submissions to us. I now invite Ms. Martinez and our support team to respond to where there are questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity to respond, and thank you very much to honourable members for the input. The Chair has mainly covered me. I think basically 50% of our responses are basically based on what the Chair has just said. So that also includes Honourable Thring's concern, or rather comment, where he was asking for discount similar views. We're not discounting any views of a particular organization, as we've already alluded to the fact that it's everyone's constitutional right to align themselves with a certain organization or rather a view. So that is clarified. We're only highlighting it because we wanted the committee to get the picture of the submissions that we have since received. Honorable Graham asked about who's the funder. The project sponsor is the unit manager in the committee services section. So what we usually do when we have a legislation project, then the committee secretary becomes the project manager. The unit manager then, upon which I would be reporting, would be the sponsor of the project. Therefore, that means the funding must come from the committee section, from the coffers of the committee section, to fund the project of legislation, as it is one of the major strategic objectives of the committee, court business division. Now, the issue of funding with parliamentary communication services is it also boils down to
that which I've just stated, the committee section should make available a certain budget for a legislative project. That also goes the same with any other stakeholder that has to assist us. We're not the only ones who are leading the project. We are, yes, leading the project. However, we have stakeholders that are working with us. For an example, Parliamentary Communication Services, they should also make the budget available. But we drive that campaign of making a budget available by the Communication Services through the project sponsor, that is our unit manager. And I'd also mention language services are also part of the stakeholders. They've been assisting with translations of the bill and all of those things. As you would have seen, that we have different versions in different radio stations as well, and different newspapers of the advert. So it's those things that are really dependent on the actual budget that would be made available. So the project sponsor in this case becomes the unit manager in the committee section upon which we are reporting. We can't agree more with the sentiment that the lack of media plan is a problem. I've just received a message from our communications officer, who is Faith. She's just recently left the meeting because she had to attend to another meeting with SCOPA. She has committed to drafting a specific comprehensive media plan so that her other colleagues in the Parliamentary Communication Services can also add information on it. So she says she has submitted it to her manager, so we should be receiving it as soon as her other colleagues have given input to that. Honourable Graham also raised the concern about whether we are taking to cognizance the message behind the submissions that we have already received, citing the fact that there's about 93% that are saying no to the bill and the other percentage, smaller percentage, that are saying yes to the bill. The chairperson has already 80% covered me on this one, but I just feel like I should highlight that as part of, I think it was the second slide on the presentation that outlined the legislative process according to the rules of the National Assembly, 9th edition, which states clearly what is the process that needs to be followed by each and every portfolio committee when processing a legislation. So those steps we have to follow thoroughly because there is a reason why they are outlined in the manner in which they are. We have also tried to be innovative this time around by adding a WhatsApp number. I would like to clarify the issue of a WhatsApp number in electronic form. Out of the recognition of the fact that some people, especially in the deep rural areas, do not have laptops or computers upon which they can send emails. But in each and every family, we have noted that out of a family of about 7 people, at least one person has a smartphone and they have a WhatsApp. So we've tried to make this easy for our people by creating that WhatsApp line so that one can just send a message to the WhatsApp line and the WhatsApp line would give them a link to an electronic form. So everything that is done electronically, you do it on that phone. You don't have to go out and find an internet cafe or whatever the case. So you just do everything on the phone and you submit the form. The form is very straightforward. It is, and I think before the end of the meeting, I would like to request the indulgence of the chairperson to show honorable members how the form is looking like and how people get to navigate through the form and what happens when you, after you have submitted the WhatsApp plan. So that was one of the innovative ways upon which we wanted to reach a broader number of South Africans who are definitely not in a space to access laptops and all of those. So the WhatsApp line is really trying to curb that challenge. Also, just to add on to that, the fact that we have 216 responses on the electronic version does not translate to the least number of South Africans that have submitted. We have also alluded to 40,000 emails that we're currently sitting with. Yes, it is now 40,000 because I'm just checking as I'm going. We are now sitting at 41,837 submissions as I speak. So we have those that are on the email.
which are coming from individuals who are also attached to organizations. There's about 13, if not 14, from specific individuals who did not submit through an organization. So what Honorable Hicklin was saying about the TLU and SARR we're doing through affording the opportunity to people to submit their submissions, to submit their comments on a form, is exactly what we tried to do with our own electronic form. So the 216 were just a sample of what we extracted for statistical purposes. And the reason why we use that was because it is derived directly from the electronic form, which automatically generates a report as we get submissions. So it is probably by far the easiest way, even easier than the email submission. So that one, we've really tried to accommodate others. And of course, we acknowledge the fact that it is still new. It was never done before. Parliament has never done it before. That's probably one of the reasons why it's having a slower uptake than the original email submission option. The issue of radio stations, Honorable Chairperson, we fully acknowledge. I'm definitely sure that after advertising specifically on Umhlobo Wenene, because I know it covers the vast of South Africa, in the main, the Eastern Cape, but the listenership is about 3.4 million people, as we were advised. So as soon as we get those, because I also said this on the presentation, that as soon as we got the radio promos ad, we got a number of submissions, a huge contingent of submissions that were submitted to us. So Honorable Graham tried to try and answer your question. Yes, we have to do public hearings, regardless of the analysis that we've made of what the current inputs are saying. We definitely have to go to the people who are not able to either access the WhatsApp or access an email to send a submission. Honorable Matebula, I think I've covered you on the concern of the electronic form. And we acknowledge that you support the recommendation about the extension. Honorable Hicklin, thank you very much for commending us as the support team. We are only able to do this because we are also being led by the chairperson, who also understands and gives us space to stretch our wings and be able to support the committee better. So on the issue of ensuring that people understand the bill, we couldn't agree more with you on that one, because that's also our sentiment. We need to really pull our strength in terms of making sure that people understand what it is that the bill entails, so that they don't get to confuse it with either Section 25 or any land claims, as we have seen. Honorable Siwisa, and I think it was also Honorable Faskalfake, proposing that we should go to level one, and the chairperson also spoke to this one. We will definitely effect the recommendation as the committee is proposing. We also note the inclusion of community radio stations with our advertisement. We'll also have a chat with our unit manager, as well as our PCS colleagues, just to ensure that we don't only focus on the major radio stations. We also zoom into the community radio stations, and the issue of pamphlets that will be made available to the PCOs will also be flagged with our management, so that they can give us approval and we can get those done as soon as possible. I think that should be all on my side, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much. I'm not sure if my colleagues would like to say something. Shuaib, Ines?
Chairperson, through you, if I may.
Yes, please continue, Mr. Shuaib.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I think we must just, and Nola touched on this, but I think we must just strengthen this point, that every single submission, whether it is using the platform of another organization or not, will be taken into account in this process. We merely, when we analyze and we say the features are showing that a large proportion of the population is excluded and that very few views are expressed, then we're doing it because that's honestly what it says. But that is not a negative comment about the submissions, and that therefore does not disqualify it. Nothing will be disqualified. The process of including the voices of every single person, no matter how they do it, no matter who they are, no matter what their view is, will be adhered to, because this is what we fought for. And we will live this through with everyone and with their views. So we are just looking for diversity of views on the bill and on the issues of the bill, because we cannot sit with the current submissions that gives us a skewed version of participation. So with that said, Chair, I think it's very important that submissions, every single one, will be taken into account, and the voices, when they say they have these concerns, when they say they have these fears, they will be taken into account. As the chairperson emphasized earlier on, this is the first phase. At another phase, all organizations that are ready to present will be given space to present and to even deliberate with the committee on the matters. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Ms. Miller would like to say something.
Thank you, Nola and Chairperson. The only thing that I have to say in terms of this is that I'm in agreement with what everyone has said. I think maybe where the confusion came in terms of the comment about the volume, it's more to do with duplication that we have found. There'd be two or three of the same person actually sending in their comment to the organization, so that would actually inflate the numbers. So it is not that the views that are expressed that are similar will be discarded. It is more just to flag that the numbers are fluctuating because of that duplication of one person who's sending inadvertently, probably in terms of this bulk email system, the same person would then be appearing two to three times at least in the submissions. Thank you.
Listen, I would, all right, at this point, I'm going to send the WhatsApp number to our WhatsApp group, so that the honourable members can just each have a feel of how the electronic form works from their side. So you'll just send a hi to the WhatsApp line, then it'll respond with the link. Then as you follow the link, you'll see how the process is going. And I'm not sure if I should also flag how it looks on our end after you have submitted your comments. I'll get your guidance, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Yes, you can send it to our group, but for the people that are part of this committee meeting, you can just flight it on the screen so that they can see. But also we can also direct them to the parliamentary website and to all the parliamentary social media platforms. But if you can just flight it for those that are here in the meeting so that they can see it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chair. With the assumption that everybody has gotten the WhatsApp number, so as soon as you send a WhatsApp message, you get led to an electronic form through a link. So this is how we receive the responses. This is the summary from my end. So after people have submitted, this is what I receive on my side. It clearly states who the name of the person is,
who the last name of the person is, from which organization. You'd notice that some are private, some did not write any organization. So we take those as individual submissions. And then some would write from which organization they come, tell you, whatever the case. So then point number four is the provinces. So you'll see there, this is Gauteng, this is the Free State, and so on and so forth. So we're currently sitting at 217 responses. So this is a live site that keeps updating every now and then. So this is where, well, the person gets asked from which city or town, and the reason why we have this is so that we can see if we are touching the other rural areas as well. As you can see here, these are from Brits, Cape Town, Pretoria, Bloem, Joburg, Centurion, Lephalale, Pretoria. So you're not getting much of the most rural areas utilizing this. And I think it's because of the manner in which it's being advertised on radio as well. Because I listened to one of the adverts, it wasn't very concise in terms of why people should be using that WhatsApp number. Then the contact details, in case we feel that on something on the comment needs some clarity, or rather we want to call those people to come in for oral submissions, we also have their details. So this is where number eight is, where we see whether they're supporting the bill or not based on the commentary that they received. Number nine is basically the gist of what we spoke about on the analysis. And this is where people are stating exactly why they're saying yes to the bill or they're saying no to the bill. They'll state those here. And Inez would therefore link those to a specific chapter or a specific section on the bill itself. Some have an option of uploading either videos or files if they don't want to write down a submission. And then you have any other comments. So this is how the electronic version of the form is working. So, and I think you'd agree, honorable members, that this is by far the easiest way, even other than the email submission. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Ms. Nola. What we can do in this platform is to just tell those that are here that the WhatsApp number is 060-55-09-848. If they can share it with those that are here with their grouping, and those that are watching the parliamentary TV on this, they can also use it. You can just send WhatsApp and then it will direct you what you should do and then how to comment and all that. And again, let's or any further comments or takes, honorable members, so that I don't close the meeting when you still have something to say. Okay, the absence of hand. Honorable Pascalvey, yes.
Yeah, sorry for not raising my hand. I just want to emphasize that if the flyers will be distributed or developed, can they take into consideration the relevant areas pertaining to the languages that's prominent there and be distributed accordingly? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Van Skalvik. If I may just come on the point that you have raised. If you all remember, when the adverts went out, they were in all the nine official languages, 11 official languages of South Africa. There was in Xhosa, there was one in isiZulu, Shivenda, and all those languages, if you all remember, and they were in the major newspapers. They came in all those languages. So even this one, I don't think it is going to be difficult to have those flyers in the 11 official languages, so that it is easier for everyone to read the flyer and then to respond as such. Let me again appreciate all the deliberations, the comments, the discussions that we had as the committee today. It shows that we really want to ensure that this bill, this time around, really sees the light of the day. As in the last administration, the fifth administration, it was rejected by the parliament because of the lack of publication and comments, and people were saying that they have not seen, they have not been given chance. We hope that this time we will reach each and every corner of South Africa, each and every citizen, so that everyone has a say in how the bill should look out. But also, Ms. Nola, I hope that you take the issue of community radio stations. Many of our communities and people, they access the community radio stations in those rural areas. So it would be good if we have promos, radio promotions in those community radio stations. And even the members that are here, they are allowed to talk to their political parties that they're coming from and tell them this is out, so people should comment. There's nothing wrong in doing that in your own time when you are in your constituent office or when you are in your home, and engage people and tell them why should they support or not support the bill that is out there. But honorable members, we must also note that the pandemic is not, as honorable Suwisa was correct in saying so, it's not yet over. We're losing our colleagues, our parents, our loved ones each and every day. It may seem as if the numbers are going down, but till we can be sure that they really, really down, then we can say that it is over. But now, for me, I think it is not yet over. So when we tell our communities, those that we are staying with, we must also we must also inform them to respect and observe the health restrictions. We must put our mask all the time when we are out there. Two, we must observe social distance. We must try at all times not to be part of gatherings where there is little ventilation or where there are many people, because that's where it spreads so fast. We must wash our hands, sanitize, ensure that we don't spread the coronavirus. It is really a killer. I think we have all seen, or we have been affected, because a neighbor, a friend, a colleague has passed on. So in those few words, honorable members, we appreciate your contribution, and also we appreciate all those that decided to join our meeting today. The meeting is then adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Everyone, thank you, Chair.